Revelation chapter 12. We've just been reading in chapter 11 how the holy city of Jerusalem is going to be dominated for 1,260 days or 42 months. This speaks of 3.5 years, a 3.5 year period when Jerusalem is going to be trodden down by the Gentiles. And then, as Jesus says when he talks about this, the times of the Gentiles will be over and Jesus will be fully established in his kingdom on earth. So, we're going to read about these things from a slightly different angle. One of these visions here in Revelation are, you could liken them to sort of looking at photographs from an album. They're all sort of showing, let's say it's a wedding album. It was the same wedding, but just different shots and different angles. And so this is giving us some other images, pretty scary ones. Well, a great and scary sight appeared in the sky. Now, some Bibles talk about in heaven, but the idea is the sky. There was a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars upon her head. She was about to give birth, and she was in the pain of childbirth and crying out with that pain. And another great wonder appeared in the sky. There was a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and a crown on each of his heads. So those 7 heads were some kind of leaders. With his tail, he dragged a third of the stars out of the sky and threw them to the land, or to the earth, which I've suggested is the land promised to Abraham from the river Euphrates to the Mediterranean. He stood before the woman in order to eat her child once it was born. She gave birth to a son who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now that's a clue. This is talking about Jesus, because he's the one who's described, in fact, at the beginning of Revelation, as the one who will rule all nations with a rod of iron. But the child was snatched away to God and to his throne. It's rather like Herod trying to persecute Jesus and to kill him, but he was snatched away. The woman fled to the desert. It's like Mary fleeing to the desert and going down into Egypt. The woman fled to a place which God had prepared for her, where she would be cared for and looked after for 1,260 days. We think, that's what we just read about in chapter 11, the 42 months, 3.5 years, when Jerusalem will be trodden down in the last days. Now, let's just remember that what we're reading here is a prophecy. It's not describing anything that happened in the past, although it might allude to various things in the Old Testament to get the imagery, as it were. This is a prophecy, we said that in chapter 1, that was given to John from Jesus to explain things which were to come to pass. Let's just remember that when we read the following difficult words. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, but the dragon was defeated, and him and his angels were not to stay in heaven any longer. And the great dragon was thrown out, that old serpent called the devil or Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was thrown down to earth and all his angels with him. Now, let's just get a few things clear. All the angels of God are all obedient to God. We're told that we're going to be made like the angels to die no more. But the wages of sin is death. And so, if angels can't die, which Jesus says they can't, then they also can't sin. So why are we reading here about angels that sin? Well, the word angel literally means a messenger. And it's used both in the Old and New Testament about ordinary people. Men can be messengers. And in fact, the disciples are called at one stage messengers or supporters. So, when you read about angels in heaven, I don't think this is talking about literal heaven. Heaven and earth can refer to power. For example, we're told that the king of Babylon was to be thrown down from heaven to earth. It means he was going to lose his power. And that's quite a common figure that you read when somebody was very famous and everyone thought they were great, and then everyone turns against them. Maybe they're caught doing something awful and put in prison. You say, oh, a star has fallen. He's fallen from heaven, as it were. Jesus says it about towns like Capernaum. He says, you're exalted to heaven. Doesn't mean they were literally in heaven, but you're going to be cast down the day of judgment. Doesn't mean that these people were literally in heaven. Isaiah, he begins his prophecy by saying, listen, heavens, listen, earth. And then he says, I'm addressing this to you rulers of the people and to you ordinary people. So the heavens were the people in power. So this is a power struggle between Michael and his angels, and I suggest this is like Jesus and his followers, and this dragon and his followers. And this dragon is very similar to the old snake, the old serpent, who was a deceiver and who led Adam and Eve into sin. And he was thrown out of the Garden of Eden. And so that is what is happening here. And I remember sitting with John Thatcher in a McDonald's in Menai in Sydney in Australia. And we talked about Revelation. And I sort of said to him, so John, you're a great, you know, Bible reader and all that. Well, what do you really make of Revelation? And he laughed and said, oh, Revelation's quite simple. Jesus wins. And that is the very simple takeaway, that for all the struggles between good and evil, between the various political powers that are struggling and will struggle to dominate God's people, in the end, Jesus wins. Whatever all the symbolism exactly is going to mean, in the end, Jesus wins. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come the salvation of God. Well, Jesus, in Hebrew, is Yahoshua, Yahweh's salvation. So now has come the salvation of God. Jesus has come. God has shown his power and reigned, and his Christ has shown his authority. For the accuser of our brothers, who accused them day and night before God, has been thrown down. And they, our brethren, won the victory over him through the blood of the Lamb, and by the power of their testimony, and they were faithful unto death. That is, they gave their lives for those things that they believed. So rejoice, you heavens, and all you that are there, but how terrible for the earth and the sea, for the dragon, the devil, the false accuser, the adversary, has come down to you, and he is very angry because he knows he's only got a little time. When the dragon realized that he had been cast down to the earth, he began to persecute the woman who had given birth to the boy. But she was given the wings, two wings of a great eagle, to fly to her place in the desert, where she will be cared of for 3.5 years in safety from the dragon. So you keep getting this period of 3.5 years. This is the time when the holy city is going to be trodden down, as we saw there in Revelation chapter 11, when the Gentiles will dominate Jerusalem. This is the time when the ministry of Elijah will be preaching to people. This also is the time when the woman and her child, this is, I guess, the Christian church, are also going to be kept safe somehow. And then from his mouth, the dragon poured out a flood of water after the woman, hoping that it would sweep her away. But the earth helped the woman. It opened its mouth and swallowed the water that came from the dragon's mouth. The dragon was furious with the woman and went off to fight against the rest of her seed, her children, those who obey God's commandments and who are faithful to Jesus. And the dragon stood on the seashore, and then we're going to see a beast in chapter 13 coming up out of the sea. So these are all various quirks of how things are going to work out around the time of the return of Jesus. There is going to be a beast, a great enemy of God's people. But the simple point is that although, as we saw in chapter 11, some of the witnesses to Jesus are going to be killed, others are going to be miraculously preserved in the same way as Jesus was preserved when he was a baby, when he was young. It seems he may well have been in Egypt for 3.5 years. And so And you see then how all these experiences of the faithful in the last 3.5 years will be to bring them to know Jesus, will bring them to experience his sufferings, whether at the hand of Herod, the hand of the Romans, crucified with him in Jerusalem, whatever, because we will be identified with his sufferings so that also his resurrection might be ours.